please go get the lawyer from church, bring him here. And his wife said, okay. And he looked over at his daughter and he says, honey, please go get the local politician and bring him here also. So they did as they were requested, and they brought the lawyer and the politician in there, and they each stood on the side of the old man's bed, and the old man laid there, and he started to pray, and then he prayed a little bit more, and they just stood there, and they kept looking at each other quizzically, wondering what was going on between the two of them. Why were they called here? Neither one of them particularly cared for this old preacher. They slept through most of the sermons. They were there most of the time, but they could really care less. And finally, the politician looked at the old preacher and he said, Reverend, we really don't like you too much. Why did you call us here? He says, I'm leaving this world and I wanted to go out just like my Savior did, in between two thieves. Two thieves. Growing up as a child of the 70s, I was blessed with black and white TV. We were talking about it this morning, Basil and I was, that my family didn't receive our first color television set until 1974. I didn't realize that there was more channels up on the UHF side of TV until the first time I seen cable. So I was kind of blessed to have that old school TV, you know, Abbott and Costello, Gilligan's Island, Dick Van Dyke, The Andy Griffith Show, and this show. For those of you who remember Our Gang, today we find the guys having problems with women. So they're going to start a club, the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Let's see what they got in store today.
Say, let's start a club right now. The He-Man Woman Haters. I'll be president.
And I'll be second president.
And you can be third president.
Thanks.
All right, get up and do exactly what I do. Put your hand on your heart and raise your other hand. We, the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
We, the He-Man.
Promise not to fall for this Valentine business.
Promise not to fall for this Valentine business.
Because girls are the bunk.
Because girls are the bunk.
Come on, fellas, let's eat.
There's a couple of things wrong with that. One, I don't really understand where girls are the bunk. And two is, if he's got a heart like that, he needs to see a doctor. I don't know. But these kids had something of a one-minded idea, didn't they? They had a common goal. Their common goal was they were going to hate women. Now, don't throw anything at me because I like women. In fact, I love women. So don't throw nothing at me. I'm talking about the Our Gang kids. Okay, so as you look at these kids, and they grew this bond together, they were going to become exclusionary. They were going to become a love for each other on their common goal. They were going to become a club, so to speak. So if they become this club, we fast forward to today's text. Peter wrote this text as a letter, an epistle, to a church who was suffering the same effects. They were becoming a club. They were becoming exclusionary. They were going to shut people out because they didn't have that same like-mindedness. You ever thought about how some churches won't allow folks to come to the Lord's table unless you're part of that church? Not just the denomination, but that church. What makes your church so exclusive? What makes it you that stands forward and tells someone you can't be part of the Lord's table? Last time I checked, all were included. All were supposed to come forward to be part of that. So this got me to thinking. Several years ago, I read a book. Don't get too surprised, Ken. I have read a book. And it was just something a little bit bigger than Sports Illustrated. But it was a book. And as I read this book, it was by a progressive pastor. This pastor has a faux hawk. For those of you that know what a faux hawk is, look that up on your internet. And you can find out. Marv and I, we don't have that problem because we don't have enough faux to flock. So he's progressive. He's a little more advanced than what we're used to. He's not your shirt and tie dressed up kind of preacher. He's a blue jeans and a t-shirt kind of guy who did a study. And his study was comparing why people come to church and people don't come to church. The author's name is Dan Kimball. The title of the book is They Love Jesus, But They Hate the Church. They love Jesus, but they hate the church. In Kimball's studies, he took people in their mid-20s to late 50s. And he asked them, why or why not do you come to church? And staggeringly, the results were this. I don't come to church because of church people. Church people won't include me. Now, I would like to say that that was because he was doing the test in California or in New York. But this whole entire study was done in the heartland of America, the Midwest, and in the Bible Belt. These people had a passion for Jesus. They wanted to know who Jesus was, but they couldn't come and be a part of it because for some reason, the church looked down upon them. You don't make enough money. You don't wear the right kind of clothes. Kathy and I have had a discussion before about a huge mega preacher that's been around for a long time. And no, I'm not picking on Joel Osteen. This is a whole nother guy. You look at his home in Dallas, Texas. I think it's outside of Dallas, Texas. He lives in a $40 million mansion. And if you go to his church and you're not wearing a $500 suit or a $1,000 dress, you're kind of showing which way to the overflow area, and maybe you might get to be part of his church. Exclusionary. Separating. Keeping people out instead of bringing people in. And Kimball looks at it in a whole nother way. He says, I have to share the truth with you. Just like me, I share the truth with you every Sunday morning in a sermon. I don't make things up. I don't expound on things. I tell you the way it is. I have been known to step on toes a little bit. In fact, there's one guy who used to come up to me in my former church that would tell me, preacher, I just shined my shoes. Don't step on my toes today. Well, if you're that worried, as I told him, you might want to wear some different shoes. If you're worried about the sermon coming at you today being different, it's going to be different because what we're going to do is we're going to take Peter's writings and we're going to compare them to the local church to what Kimball found. And we're going to find out if we actually fit in these categories. It says, I attended a seminar 4 years ago that they talked about youth, young people, college students, things like that, wanting to come to church and be part of the church. And as they surveyed these young people, they asked them, what do you want from the church? I want God to provide for me. I want God to provide for me. They looked on God as a servant instead of a savior. They wanted God to be their butler, to give them this and to give them that and not ask for. They took their needs and they turned them into wants. I want a better job. I want a bigger house. I want a finer income. Not that I need a place to shelter me from the outdoors. Not that I have employment. Give me something more, God. So as they continued on, we look at today's clip. In 59 seconds, you've seen this. One-minded, sympathy, love, tenderness, and humility. Peter noticed this in the early church. He noticed that the early church had these same five problems. And we're comparing them now. Peter taught that the early church needed to be one-minded, pursuing the same goals. Those same goals were to learn more about Christ and to serve Him. Now I ask you this question. Why do you come to church? Ask yourself that question. Why do you come to church? Is it because it's tradition that you've always come to church and you've sat in this spot? Is it because you've got troubles in your life and you decided, well, I might want to get back to church? Or do you come to church out of fear? Fear because you're afraid that if you don't attend church, when your days on this earth is over, you're hoping that God looks at you and says, hey, you came to church. Come on in. And it's not like that. It's far from that. We have got to learn that as us to bridge between God and death, we've got to place trust and faith in that bridge. That bridge being Jesus Christ. We've got to learn to study about Jesus Christ. Because Scripture teaches us, folks, that no one will go to the Father unless they go through the Son. You will never see the Father unless you go through the Son. And we forget that. We as a church, and when I say we as a church, I'm talking the worldwide church. I'm not talking about Alpha United Methodist Church, so keep your emails and cards to yourself. We, the church, seem to think that with programs and dinners and fellowship hour, we get the whole church experience. We forget that we need to pick up the book, get in the Word, and live the Word of God. We live on the outside edges. We think that if we give somebody some coffee and donuts in the morning, that's going to bring them to the church. If we give them a Sunday school class that's new and cutting edge and full of media and this and that on leather couches and fancy wallpaper and this and that, that's going to bring people to church. Kimball shows in his writings that people outside our walls are hungry for the Word, not the program, not the fellowship, not the fancy walls, not the fancy carpet, not even the air conditioning. And I salute you for coming to a church that doesn't have air conditioning. But we still come for those same simple reasons. We come because we turn the church into a meeting place. We turn the church into a place where we can become with our secular friends and laugh and joke and pat each other on the back. And we endure a 20-minute sermon so we can feel better about ourselves when we leave. Now, when we leave, we have got to take that word that we heard and live that word fully. Don't expect the preacher to be the only one in the church who reads the Word. Don't expect the preacher to be the only one to live the Word. All walks of life, all walks of people have got to do the same thing. You have to be involved. Sympathy. Peter taught that we must be responsive to others' needs by supplying for those needs. We supply the word, and then we care for their issues. Kimball's findings were evident in the church today. We will supply sympathy and forget the word. We will supply sympathy, but we forget the word. We supply the care and the nurture people get, but we don't include the prayers that they need. We don't include the scriptures they need to hear. We are so apt at being people that lay our Bible out in prominence so folks can see us carrying our Bibles or displaying our Bibles, but we don't break the bindings on our Bibles. We forget we need to live inside that word. Current studies show that most churches across the country have some form of evangelism going on. Some form of evangelism. Most churches have got this idea of evangelism, which is a great idea, but we go out to evangelize so we can repopulize our pews. We go out and we find people because, well, our church attendance is down and we want to keep our church open. So we go out and we find people and we invite them to church to fill our seats and hope for the best. True evangelism works by giving the word. And if you preach the word, you see the seats fill. People long to hear the stories about Jesus. They long to be that connection with Jesus. We don't ever do that. We separate ourselves with a program, with a multimedia event, with a dinner, with an opportunity to come to a church social. And all that while, we never supply the word. Now, I'm not telling you folks you got to become Bible thumpers, because that turns people off just as much. What I'm telling you is you got to become people that live the word and people can see the word alive inside you. You've got to become a people that there's no fear when your days on this earth are over. Most of us live in a state of fear of the final days. A lot of people, and this is just not from what I've studied or read, but people a whole lot smarter than me have compiled information about, that over 90% of Americans, Western Christianity, are afraid of death. Over 90% of the Western Christianity do not accept Jesus Christ for more than a simple story. Most of us call on Jesus Christ in times of despair. If you truly believe in Christ and you truly live the Word of God, you've got to share every point of your life with Him. In no fear, in no shame, in no secular world that you live in and you only live your faith on Sunday mornings at 9:30 in the sanctuary. You've got to live it 24/7, 365, every bit of it. Kimball says this, Peter teaches us in tenderness, that we should possess a true sense of sensitivity and caring for those that we encounter every day. Kimball's finding with his group says, church people are really going to show a tenderness for folks in a time of struggles and pain, but they forget about the word in the process. When you put a new roof on someone's house, or you raise money for someone who's been in a fire, what should accompany your blessings should be accompanied by the word of God. We need to open up and become those people that are willing to share willing to humble ourselves. We have got to realize not everyone is going to buy into our ideas. Not everyone wants to be part of our club. Because our club over the years has went from what it was established to be to become exclusionary. We have got to take ourselves to our knees in front of the Savior so we can take the fear out of our hearts and open our minds that He's bridging that gap between the death and the Father. A lot goes on in today's scripture. A lot for us to understand. What are your fears of the Word? Are you worried that the lives we live on Sunday afternoon until Sunday morning are not pleasing to God? Are we people of God that have gone too far? Or are we the people of God who's on that swinging pendulum that can still bring that pendulum back towards being holy? Are we the people of God who are willing to humble ourselves, challenge the Scriptures, and live the Word? Don't just say it. Believe it. During our closing song, our altar will be open. If you feel the need that you should come forward and talk to God, that you need to humble yourself before the Lord. If you've got demons and baggage and troubles and worries, don't carry them back out the door with you today. You came to church for a reason. For a reason. Did you come out of tradition? Did you come out of fear? Or did you come to get rid of that stuff that's weighing you down? Please join me in prayer. I ask you to come upon us, to speak to us, Lord, in volumes that we can understand. Lord, allow that word, the word, to resonate in our hearts all the day long. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.